Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are, and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. I hope you all have been enjoying the latest podcast. To those of you listening, first off, thank you for listening. I'd also want to offer to you and suggest that you check us out on our YouTube channel. We have, we've been putting in a lot of work to make our podcast more accessible on YouTube, and I know the people who've been watching us there have really been enjoying it. We've been loving the feedback. And I think you will too. If you like the show, you'll like our YouTube channel. So please check us out. I want to thank those of you who support our podcast and this ministry by watching, by listening, and those of you who support us financially. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. So I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your generosity. Your faithful partnership is the reason we're able to continue to invite people into spiritual family through songs and stories. So thank you. Those of you who are out there listening, you know who you are. And if you want to learn more about what Katina Ministries is, what we do, and how you can support us, I'd encourage you to visit our website, thekatinas.com. You'll find all the information you need to know there. So thank you for that. And thank you again for tuning in. This week we have a special first-time guest. Mm-hmm. I really believe this was a God thing that she's here and able to join us. She is someone who our family has known for, I don't know how long, several years.
Long time.
And we kind of, by the grace of God, ran into her and her family not too long ago. And my Uncle James, actually, he said, you need to be on the podcast. And she graciously agreed to take time out of her day to join us on the show. And I know she's going to be a blessing to our audience. So I'd like to welcome to the show Maliana Wolfgram Tupou. Maliana, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Like you said, it really is, it was God, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I know when I ran into James, he even texted me too and was like, man, God is good for connecting us. And I'm like, he really is. And
yes, he is.
I'm just so grateful to be here.
Well, it's really a treat. I know all my uncles were excited when they heard that, she's going to be on the show. So, and I know our listeners are going to be blessed by this. I also know, and I'm thankful you were telling me this before the show, that you're a listener of the podcast yourself.
Yes, every single episode. So I finally got caught up because I was with traveling. I needed to catch up on the last ones. Was it the Father's Day? Mm-hmm. Episode? That was the last one.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
Well, you're a loyal listener, and, so you kind of know how the show works. You've listened to enough to know. I'm going to ask you and give you an opportunity, if you would, just introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us who you are, where you're from, what you do, whatever is important. And then if you wouldn't mind as well sharing what your connection is with the Katina family.
Absolutely. So hello, everyone. I'm Maliana Wolfgram Tupou. I'm adding Wolfgram in there because it's really my family that we've been friends with the Katinas for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe that's a good way to start. That will probably really explain best how we met. But I was trying to think how old I was when I met you guys, because it was a long time ago.
Yes.
In Minnesota, which is where my family lived at the time. Mm-hmm. And so just for you, for those of you who don't know, I'm one of 17 children. And so we're a big Tongan family. We happen to be living in Minnesota. And I think I was around 5 years old. I remember seeing like a van pull up. And I actually was the one, I was looking outside of our window and saw like that a van was pulled up. I think I grabbed my sister Moana, my older sister, and was like, there's someone here. Because we lived in the middle of nowhere, so we would know if like there's someone that's, you know, not here. And that's when we met you and your brothers. But we knew you guys as the Katina boys.
Yes.
This was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm 40 now. So if I was like around 5, 6 years old, it's been a long time.
Yes.
But I guess the main connection is we're both big Polynesian families. We're Tongan, Samoan, mm-hmm. and we're in the music mm-hmm. business. So some of you who are listening might know my older siblings mm-hmm. who are a band that came out in the 80s called The Jets. Mm-hmm. And so I was born into music. I actually was, the year I was born was the year they signed with MCA Records.
Wow.
So my whole life was basically growing up with them doing music. So traveling with them, on the road touring. To me, it was normal, but mm-hmm. it wasn't until I got older and was like, oh, you guys don't do music and travel? And it's like, no. But yeah, doing music. And then when I was in eighth grade, I think, is when I started joining and singing with my family, with the older siblings. So they would do shows in Las Vegas, all over. And as some of our older sisters started to get married, us younger ones would come in and take over. So I played keyboard, sang, dance, and... yeah, that's kind of the connection. Yeah. But Joe, you probably have more to add.
Oh,
to our
Maliana,
family.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. I'm like Josh. It's just an honor that you're here.
Oh.
And I think you're the first Wolfgram that needed to be on here.
So
hopefully many of the other brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces will come.
I know. But I know my other siblings, I feel like they should be here.
No,
so,
you're
but
good.
I'm like, ha-ha,
you're
repping
well. I remember that day, and I'll even go before that when we were still in Samoa as kids, just doing music in Dad's church. And we would listen to, I don't know if they still have, it was like a radio show. It played every Saturday in Samoa. It was like Top 40 American Countdown. Do they still have that? Dick Clark.
I knew Dick Clark. Yep, had one. Casey.
Yes.
Something, Top 40.
Yes, like Top 40. Yeah. It was one of those shows. And I remember the Saturday, because again, my dad wouldn't let us listen to music that was not religious music. But me and my brothers, we would just play that radio, and every Saturday we knew that when the show was coming on. And all of a sudden, I forget how old I was. I was probably in middle school, and all of a sudden they started talking about this group called the Jets. And I remember they were Polynesian, and they were a family. And it was definitely in the 80s, mm-hmm. early 80s. And me and my brothers were like, who are the Jets? And we had some other friends that had access to music. We couldn't afford it. And they would bring your cassette recorder and they showed us the cover. You know, you're all in different colors, your older siblings. The Jets, I don't know if you had a contract with Converse, but I remember... You guys would wear all different colored Converse.
Yep.
I mean, they were huge. So they became outside of Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Jacksons, the Jets became our influence.
Wow.
And we were like, man, we want to be like the Jets. Yeah. And then I remember we moved to the States because our mother got cancer, and we came to Washington, and they came to perform at the Puyallup State Fair. It was a pretty big state fair. Yeah.
Wow.
And they were the headliners. And we went just... So happened that Sam went to school with Eddie, one of the older siblings back in Samoa. And Sam was like, man, I know Eddie. And we're like, really? Are you serious? So after the show, I don't know if all of them came out, you know, or we got snuck into the VIP meet and greet and Sam and Eddie connected just real quick. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that, again, I don't know if we didn't exchange numbers because we were just, hey, and then that, after that, we started singing probably in another year or two, and we started traveling with a preacher.
Oh.
And I'm serious. You couldn't write this up. We sang at this family camp in Minnesota. And Sam, somehow he was, this lady came up and she said, you remind me of the Jets. And that would have been like telling us we just won a Grammy. We're like, really, really? And she said, I know them. She said, I helped deliver some of the babies. We were like, so I don't know if she was the nurse or the doctor, the OBGYN. I don't know who she was, or she was just in the room. It's been so long, over 30 years ago. Sam said, where do you live? Where do they live? And I don't know all the details, but I don't know if she told us the city. We didn't have the address. So that family camp ended on a Sunday night. And we were supposed to go to Ohio to sing at another youth convention or a family camp.
Yeah.
And instead, Sam said, you have to know Sam to know this. This is not weird for Sam to do. Sam said, let's go look for him, man. Let's go look for the Jets. Like, we're like, really? Of course, we're all young and not. We're thinking, yeah, they live in this state. We can find them.
and so, I'm so surprised you guys found us because we live in the middle of nowhere.
here's more to the story. So we drive. We're driving all night. And, you know, I fall asleep in the back. And we had this custom van with a trailer at the time. That's where we were traveling. I fall asleep. And when I wake up, it's still kind of dark. It's dawn, but we're parked. And I kind of hear, I think it was either Sam and one of the twins or Jesse saying, yeah, I think that's it. I think that's it. And I wake up and I said, where are we? They're like, we're in front of the Jets' house. We said, how do you know this is the Jets' house? He goes, look at the tires on the roof. Because that's what Polynesians do. We don't throw away our tires. We put them on the roof to hold down the roof. And he goes, I think that's it.
That's it.
The rest is history. I don't know what time it was. I didn't know you were the one that saw
it. It was actually early in the morning.
It was early.
Yeah. So I remember, I just remember seeing like a van come in and I was like, there's someone here.
Yeah.
But I think it was Moana. It was for sure Moana.
I remember Moana because I think we were all there. Moana opened the door.
Yep.
And it literally was like we met our long lost brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
We ended up spending probably a couple of days.
Yeah, I think I remember it was a couple of nights. We had like family get-togethers.
Dad led prayer.
Yep.
They cooked food. We played basketball together. I think we went to wherever you guys rehearsed, your siblings rehearsed.
Yeah.
And from then on, it was just connection. Rudy and Moana ended up coming to Uncle Yeti and Auntie Kathy's wedding.
Wow.
Yep.
And we just ended up staying in touch. And here we are.
Yep. Yeah. And sorry if I just add something to
please.
That. You know, you were saying like how you guys looked up to the Jets. But I'm going to speak on behalf of my family that ever since that day or when you guys came to our house, you guys have been such an inspiration and like
you,
a Christ-like example.
Mm.
And we have just looked up to you just like brothers. And I mean, I truly mean that. And I speak on behalf of my whole family. You know, each one of them, every time we say, oh, the Katinas are here.
Mm.
Like we just light up. It's like, oh, the Katinas. So I know like today, if I talk to any of my family and I tell them, guess who I was with?
Yes.
They're all going to be like, what?
Thank you.
No, you guys truly, we've just looked up to you guys this whole just ever since we've met. And ever since that meeting too, just what an impact you've had. Because I was so young and I remember, I just remember you guys singing in our living room and we had never experienced anything like that.
Wow.
So you and your brothers really left a huge impact on our family. Thank you so much. You guys have really blessed us
in
that way.
That's so humbling. And I thank God. Thank you for sharing. It's unbelievable to me because, you know, being a kid in Samoa, thinking someday we're going to meet the Jets. And now that we're literally friends and family, it's a blessing.
It's funny to me because growing up when I've been on the road with my dad and uncles, every once in a while we'll go somewhere and we'll see like a sign like, oh, the Jets played here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like
we're in the Philippines, Josh. Yeah.
The Philippines this year. We were at a mall. There's lots of malls in the Philippines, but we were at a mall and there was this big sign of the Jets. I think they were coming. They were coming.
They were coming, yes.
I think like you guys just missed each
other.
Yes.
I just remember still to this day, my dad and my uncles, their eyes light up. The Jets were here. I think you guys took a picture in front of the poster in the mall.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny how our family's paths have kind of crossed over the years.
Yep.
And I want to ask you, Maliana.
Yeah.
So, 17 children, a Tongan Polynesian family in Minnesota. Yep. I'm assuming there's not a lot of Polynesians in Minnesota.
No, there isn't, actually.
Yeah.
But the ones that we were friends with, like, we were tight.
Yeah, they were your cousins.
Yep.
And I can relate to that. And to know, a huge family. And also, you guys are performers, singers, musicians. That's something that I'm familiar with. And I know that, you know, that shapes you in a way. And I'd love to ask you, how did that shape you growing up Where do you fall in line in the kids?
My parents had 10 children, mm-hmm. and so the 8 oldest of that were the Jets or mm-hmm. are the Jets. They took a 7-year break and then had 7 more children.
Wow.
So me and my twin brother are the oldest of the younger 7. So there's kind of like 2 generations, and we always talk about that, like, uh-huh. oh, that's the older half and we're the younger half. So in the middle, but not, I'm actually number 11.
Okay, wow. Very cool.
Yep.
So, are you the older of the twins? Or?
Yes. My twin brother will say his right foot is older than me. I'm older. Yeah.
So I just got to ask, how did that, growing up in a huge family like that, that performed, how did it shape you?
I think it's a big part of who I am today, mm-hmm. you know, really. My parents, I will have to say, you kind of have to be crazy to mm-hmm. have, you know, mm-hmm. to have a big family like that. But I mean, especially with the life that I'm living now, mm-hmm. I look back and I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm living a crazy life or very non-traditional life. Yeah. And it does reflect on how I was raised.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I will say, when you're asking, how did it shape me? I think it's a lot of who I am today. I mean, sure. I can't mm-hmm. deny just growing up in a big family. There's so many things mm-hmm. that I can see today.
Interesting. Before you got here, me and my brothers and the nephews that work with us, when we're in town on Mondays, we pray together. And right now, our family is going through a situation. It's a private but very deep situation. And it's a time of grieving, mm-hmm. but also a time of celebration. And so, what I know about families, mm-hmm. every family goes through things differently.
Yep.
But when you come from a big family, I think there's a lot of, there's the two words that we've, my brothers and I have, and it's not a phrase that we've coined, but it feels like it relates to our family. We're blessed and we're broken. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, we used to be blessed and now we're broken, or not used to be. We used to be broken and now we're blessed. We're both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the amazing thing about God, is he's the God of the blessing and helps us through our brokenness.
Yes.
And I think it's important as family, sometimes, mm-hmm. I know even for ours, that we try to run away from the brokenness because we don't want to live in that brokenness.
Yes.
And I think when we surrender to the fact that it's not an excuse, mm-hmm. but it's the truth.
Yep.
We're broken. We need God. And God gives us the blessings. But like you said, you're living this crazy life. I relate. There's a lot of things that we do that it doesn't make sense for people. Like, well, why would you do that? Well, I mean, this is part of my story. This is how every year we go away to a cabin with, there's about 40 of us. And some family tell me, some people, my friends are like, there's no way I would be caught with my 40 members, you know, in for 4 days in this. And I'm not saying like it's all good, but we all, because we've grown up in this, you just learn how mm-hmm. to navigate the brokenness and the blessing of family.
Yes. And we're definitely seeing that now. I mean, we've had our share of drama. We've had it all mm-hmm. in our family, ups and downs. But I do feel now is when we do come together, it's more of just cherishing the time mm-hmm. that we have together, despite maybe our differences, different paths we've taken, or just, you know, whatever has gone in the past.
Yes.
I do feel like we just cherish the time that we have together,
good.
Which is important.
It's good.
Yeah.
So obviously your upbringing was, as you said, crazy. And you alluded to this, that kind of your lifestyle right now is maybe what people would say is outside of the box.
Yes.
And so I want to ask you, and maybe you can touch on that, is what are you doing in Tennessee right now?
Yeah. So in Tennessee, what's brought us here, so my little family, I have a husband. We're almost married 20 years this October.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We have one daughter, so she's 16,
mm-hmm.
and I would say 8 months ago now, I think November is about 8 months ago, 8 months from now, we started doing like pet and house sitting locally. We're from St. Petersburg, Florida, mm-hmm. for anyone that's from Florida, but we just started doing that on the side. It wasn't like anything serious. We were renting a condo in Florida at the time, and we love animals. We're big, pet lovers. I grew up on a farm. Mm. We used to breed dogs when we first got married. Mm. So it was just one of those things that just kind of casually happened. Yeah. But prior to that, I would say like a year leading up to that, my husband had been getting like these promptings that, and all it was just live with less. Mm. We didn't know what that meant. After COVID, you know, I feel like COVID really shook a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it definitely did. There was a lot of changes just in our family. We moved across country, you know, being laid off, all those type of things. So we were just kind of like, what does that mean? So fast forward, sorry, I'm trying to like condense the story. So yeah, November comes around. My husband is like, oh yeah, he's been getting these promptings. We're still trying to figure out, because we moved back to Florida. We're like, are we going to buy? Where are we going to settle? Where should we live? Are we, you know, what are we doing? Are we going to, renew our lease and continue to rent? So we're just trying to figure out just life. Come to find out, we take up, this opportunity comes and it's like, oh, hey, we're looking for, you know, some dog sitting and training. My husband takes it. We end up joining this platform where we do, like, you can actually do it full time. And there's like nomads, and there's surprisingly lots of people who do it full time. Wow. So we were just thinking like, oh, we would never do that, but we can just do it for now. Like, yeah, we love animals. 2 weeks, that was November. 2 weeks later, I want to say like, yeah, half a month, we were booked out half a year. Wow. On this platform. And we were like, what are we doing? You know, we did one sit and we were kind of like, you know, we love dogs. We love this kind of people. But from there, we just said, we prayed as a family and we were like, Lord, what are we doing? You know, I thought we were going to, you know, settle down somewhere. Yeah. And yeah. And then it just came full circle. And that's when my husband was like, is this what you're talking about? Live with less? Like, what does that mean?
Wow.
So we were booked out for 6 months. About a month later, we were booked out for a full year.
That's amazing.
And at that point, we were like, we can't really, should we renew? No, because we won't even be here. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I mean, just prayers were being answered, because we were thinking of like, okay, well, in order for us to do things, we need to clear up financially these things. And it just kind of worked out that like, it all worked out. And we were just like, God is leading this, because we didn't do this. And yeah, so come April was when our condo renewal was up, and we decided, yeah, we're just gonna go full throttle.
That is amazing.
Yeah, we're now booked out till September, so we do full time house and pet sitting, and we've been here in Tennessee for the last month on a farm.
Wow!
So we're watching goats and horses.
How long is a average sit, or is there a such thing?
It really depends. So it depends. You get to kind of choose. You work with the people, so it could be as little as like a weekend or like months at a time.
Wow.
So yeah, we have some sits where we'll be there for like 4 months, and then there's some smaller ones. We usually do, since we're doing it full time, it just makes sense to do longer sits.
Yes, sure.
But so that's where this one came into play, and that's how we ended up here.
That is amazing.
Man.
So where has this journey taken you so far around?
So we have been, we started off, so we did a lot of local sits in Florida. It's taken us to Kansas. Let's see, from Kansas, we went to South Carolina, Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas, and here in Tennessee.
Wow.
And then this week, we'll leave to Arizona. We'll be in Arizona for a month, and then back in Kansas.
Goodness. For your daughter, Sia, just to see the world, like, or the country.
Yeah, and it worked out perfect because she's homeschooled.
Yes.
And she's doing college now, dual enrollment, but she does it all online. I work remote, and then my husband runs this full time. So it just kind of, it worked out. Really, we were just like, it's all God, because we did not plan this. But when we were telling our friends and family, they're like, you're doing what now? It was like, well, we're nomads. I guess that's what they call it.
Is that a term?
That is, yeah. So it's basically nomadic living.
Yeah.
And we're surprisingly, there's been a lot of people who do that, or minimalist lifestyle.
Yes.
So in April, we literally packed up our whole condo and we got rid of most everything, kept the essentials that we could fit in our car, and put everything else in a small storage.
I don't want my wife to watch this. She might get ideas.
Let's sell everything.
But you know, I never, you know, if you would have told me that, I would have been like, are you crazy? Like a year ago, I'd have been like, we're not getting rid of our stuff. Like, we're not going to, like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to have like a home base, you know? But it just worked out, and it was scary at first, but we just kept praying and it felt good. I think that was the thing that led us, was that we just had a peace.
Yeah.
And we weren't, Because if you were to just, like I said, ask me a year ago, I would have been like, no way. Like, I need all my things. Like, I'm not getting rid of stuff. Like, we need a home base. Like, there's just no way. And now I've learned, don't say no way. Because yeah. God will say, well, my way, you know. And it's been truly, it's really been an adventure. And we've actually, it's been a blessing. Mm-hmm. Every day we're just like, wow, God, you're so amazing. You've provided this for us. We're experiencing things we never thought we would experience. Yeah. Yeah. And then also, because I grew up traveling, you know, going, you know, on many road trips growing up. So the fact that my daughter is kind of experiencing it now, it's been like, this reminds me of, you know, how I was growing up and going to different places. So it really has like come full circle in that regard.
That's amazing. I'm, you know, thinking about those words, living with less. I'm sure that through this journey that you guys are on, there's been some things that you've had to let go of. Some things you're living without and living with less. What kind of growth have you seen in your life and your family's life through letting some things go? Because I'm just thinking in my mind of the things I'd have to let go of to live like that. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I would want to do that. And what's that been like?
It has been, I think there's a scripture in Luke 12 that talks about don't worry about tomorrow, what food or what you're going to eat. As a family, we have really been practicing, like literally practicing, God, where are you going to take us? What are you going to provide for us? And it's so weird. It seems scary, but our experience so far, it has been the most peaceful, calming, like there's no worries. Like we haven't had any cares or worries. And if we don't have that thing, we already know, like, you're going to provide it, God. You provided us this far. You're going to provide us everything that we need. It's also been so, when you don't have much stuff, it's like a load is off your, you just feel like light, I guess you could say. Wow. You feel light and you just feel like you're not attached to things.
Sure.
So that has been a big, especially for me. I mean, I was like, how many shoes can I say? You know, I'm like, oh, do I? But it really helped me be like, I don't know if you've been asked that question, like if your house got on fire, what would you take with you? It's kind of been that kind of scenario of like, what are we going to take? You know, this or that. But it's really helped our family focus on it's our time together. We've really, it's like the material things don't matter, you know? And it's more of our relationships with each other, with people. So it's actually really broadened our whole perspective on life.
I bet. I hear that. Maliana, when you're talking, and even earlier on when you said my husband started hearing a prompting, live with less, I'm not asking the questions, Josh, but I'm just interested because if somebody's watching, like, what are they talking? How do you feel the prompting? And you mentioned literally, I agree. I imagine you have to literally say, okay, God, what's next? To somebody who maybe is watching, they don't really have that relationship or communication with God. Can you tell us just about your faith walk? How did you come into like, what I hear is you have a relationship with God where you talk to him, he speaks to you, you hear him, then I'm not saying it's always easy to obey, but then you're like, okay. To some people that sounds weird. But
yeah, absolutely.
How did that happen? Or is it happening?
I would definitely say it's definitely happening. I would say how it happened. We grew up very religious. I had a very strong, very active in church, very religious lifestyle growing up. So for 35 years growing up that way, I think what really changed is through those 35 years, which I'm so grateful for, I got to learn about Jesus. You know, we went to church every Sunday. I was very active. We got to sing about Jesus. We got to read scriptures about him, learn about him, but I didn't know him. And I think about 6 years ago, that's when my husband and I, we just wanted to seek the truth. And that's when we were like, how do we know you, Jesus? Like we've learned about you, but we don't know you personally. And so that's when our relationship actually started with Christ. And I think the biggest, I think the first lesson that he showed my family was the scripture where he's telling, is it Peter, to come out of the boat, walk on the water. And it was more of just like letting go and just trusting in him. Mm-hmm. And that started about 6-7 years ago for our family, wow, of just letting go. And it was kind of, we had to kind of unlearn a lot of things and kind of wipe the slate clean and just say, okay, God, we've learned a lot about you, mm-hmm, but we want to know you now, mm-hmm, personally. Yeah. How do we do that? Mm-hmm. And it was more with all, we have so many biases and so many things we've been taught growing up. And it was more like, let's just wipe the whole table clean and we trust you. You're going to teach us everything we need to know to learn,
beautiful,
to know you. And that's where it started. And yeah, it was small little things that led up to knowing who you are. And I think it was the trust, because I know I've gotten asked, well, how do you know? What if it's wrong? You know, what if you do this thing and it doesn't work out? It's like, that's a part of the learning.
Yes.
You know, that's a part of it,
yes,
is to learn. But I think we've gotten so, I call it God confidence now. Mm-hmm. I talk about it with my husband. Mm-hmm. We know it's right when the doors keep opening.
Mm-hmm.
You have a peace.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of the indicators that we know, like, God, it's in your hands.
Mm.
But the minute we start to feel like, you know, uneasy, it's kind of like, okay, Lord, where it's uneasy, should we still head that way? Mm. And there's times where he's like, yeah, go that way. And it may not have been around, but we just say, God, even if this is the wrong way, we know you will turn us around and redirect us. So.
Wow. That's beautiful.
I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that's so beautiful, because I relate. Mm-hmm. Relate so much in growing up. And again, I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for my culture.
Yeah.
Thankful for our culture that really emphasizes the importance of God. And yet, I relate to the reality that you can grow up knowing about God,
mm-hmm,
and never knowing God.
Hmm. Yes.
And that's a journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for God's grace and his mercy, because even as I know about him, doesn't mean I live perfectly.
Yep.
And that's part of getting to know God, is like, well, God, man, what if I did? Well, God's like, well, but you're my child.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you. I forgive you. And I don't want to get off into the weeds, but I think it's important, coming from a strong religious Polynesian family like both you and I come from. Maybe there's other people watching and you're like, what are they talking about? You know, it's like having a relationship with Jesus,
yes,
where he knows everything about us and he loves us. And it's not about our performance. It's not about the perfection, because that's what I grew up like. Okay, if I can do this and do this and this, even though I didn't say it, that I was really trying to earn God's love.
Yep.
I'm not blaming anybody for my theology, but that's how I interpreted it. And I'm thankful to God's grace. And I'm far from perfect today, but I do understand, and living in the reality of this relationship with God is I can trust him.
Yep.
Sometimes I trust him. Sometimes I don't. That's on me.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. And I really do feel like, I think now I feel old now because I just turned 40. I'm like, I'm 40. But now I'm starting, I feel like life is really about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one relationship is that relationship,
mm-hmm,
with God,
mm-hmm,
that you find. But it's really, it's a personal thing. And mm-hmm, everyone's looks different.
Yeah.
You know, and even like growing up in religion, I still have friends who, mm-hmm, still, you know, attend those things. And mm-hmm, they've even asked me too, like, oh, you know, you might not attend our same church. Why? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, you know, we're both on our journey, our walk with, mm-hmm, Christ, and mine just walked this way.
Mm-hmm.
It walked another way. And so, but it's a very personal.
Yes.
It's a very personal walk. And what's crazy, I think we did a show with you guys in 2016, I think in Orem. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah,
yes.
With Moana.
Was it at a college?
Yeah, it was at a college.
Yep.
And that was actually at the beginning of my little family's like journey.
Mm.
But you really planted a seed that night.
Mm.
I had never heard of relationship like over religion.
Mm.
Like that, I remember you spoke about that, and I never heard of that before. Mm. I just was like, relationship, huh? Mm. But that really, that wow. planted a seed. And so wow. that really did plant a seed on that.
Wow, so. Thanks. Thank you.
Well, Maliana, I have to ask this. It's a fun question. What is there a destination that you're looking forward to, or like a dream one that you're praying, like, oh, I hope someone books us from this place. Do you have anything like that?
Yes, I do. Yeah. My husband's going to not like it because he's not fond of flying. Okay. But my dream, like, I want to go to Italy. Ah. I want to go to Europe because you can do this.
You can do this?
Yes, yeah, internationally.
Wow, that's
so
beautiful.
That's the one that I want. I'm like, God, is that in the plan?
Yeah.
You know, please help my husband change his mind. He's like, no, let's stay here in the States. It's not a big... big on traveling. But yeah, I would say Italy is the big one. For here in the United States, we want to come back here.
Like, oh, yes.
Yeah, we're already like, let's come back to Tennessee.
I have a dog.
You know, Josh, it's not for free.
So, awesome. But yeah, we would love to come back here.
That's awesome. Well, so you're the one you're at right now. It's did I hear it's like a farm?
Yes. So okay. We're on like over 140 acres, and we're watching a cat, four goats, and a horse.
Oh so. My
wow,
goodness!
That's amazing.
So it's not just dog sitting. You guys are
yeah. We mainly do dog and cat uh-huh. sitting. This one, unfortunately, their dog passed, and then they took their other dog. So they're like, it's just going to be our goats and a horse. So. Yeah, it's been great. And, you know, my dad passed away
yes.
a couple years ago, but he was really big into animals. And we actually had 50 pigs on our farm
Didn't
in Minnesota.
Know that. Oh, wow.
So it's been kind of neat. It's weird. Even though he's gone, I just doing all these sits, I feel very close to him. And I always talk to my mom like, oh my gosh, dad would have loved this.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
You know, all these places.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, you're just like your dad with all those animals. Because my mom's not too fond of animals.
She, oh, okay.
So, but... It's
but
been,
she had 50 pigs on her farm growing up.
Yeah.
Well, that's a gracious
But
mom.
It's been like this weird, like I see so many things and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like even though my dad's not here, I still feel like he's here.
That's pretty cool. I feel like your mom and dad, just getting to know them and meet them. And now that dad's gone and mom's still here, I think of my own parents and how, now that I have my own two sons, no parents do it perfectly, and we're not supposed to. And your parents and my parents, I think, did an amazing job at instilling love for God and love for family. Even though,
Absolutely.
Like you said, we all had to go on our own journey and, okay, what is my personal relationship going to be with God?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps something our parents did helped us to eventually have to make the hard decisions of, okay, I need more than religion.
Mm-hmm.
The religion is not going to cut it for me. It's not going to help me.
Yeah.
It can take me so, and I'm not shaming anything. I mean, I think I'm thankful for organized church. I'm thankful for pastors. We attend the church. We have a pastor. Yet at the same time, maybe something that our parents instilled in us was seek the Lord while he may be found. And here we are now. Not doing it perfectly, but still walking of our journey of faith that we know, like you said, the most important relationship is our relationship with God.
Yes. Amen to that. And yeah, I look at my parents, and of course, now that I'm an adult, I'm like, oh, wow, they weren't perfect. But me being a parent myself, but I do have, I'm so grateful for the faith that they instilled. And I even look back, I'm like, Mom and Dad, how did you do that with, especially my older siblings, and they're new immigrants, can barely speak English here, and, you know, they're going after, like, they went all the way. Like,
yes.
So that was inspiration, and I just am very grateful for that. So.
Well, Italy, here we come.
I know, Italy. Like.
It's really been a treat having you here. And
thank you.
I love getting to talk with people who live their life a little different than I do. And it's good for my perspective. I know our audience is going to be blessed by your story, Maliana. And God willing, you're going to have lots of sits here in Middle Tennessee. And you're welcome back here anytime.
I hope so. God, thank you so much. You guys have been awesome. This was such a treat for me. So
thank you.
I don't feel worthy to be on this podcast.
You are so here.
More than
I want to slip one thing in.
Yeah.
My wife and I's first date, even though we didn't know it was a date, was a Jets concert.
Really?
September 19th, 1988.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
in
Jets in Seattle? At the Puyallup Fair.
Oh, at that
yeah,
fair.
So
oh, wow.
I am thankful to Jesus, the Jets, and the song "You Got It All."
There you go. I like that. I've never heard that story.
That's awesome. Oh, you didn't hear that? Okay. There That's you go, funny. Josh.
Thank you to the Jets. Thank you to your family. And by the way, if you watch this, Uncle T, God's telling me open your heart to Italy. I think if the door opens, you guys should walk through it. But Maliana, thank you again for
thank
being
you
here.
So
You're
much.
Welcome back anytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Love you. Love you.
To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.